So you open up your portfolio and you see green. And it feels good, right? That initial little rush that we all kind of chase. Dollar value is up. But then, you know, you start to dig a little deeper, you check the other metrics, and that good feeling starts to fade. You see something that's actually pretty worrying.
That feeling is so deceptive, you know? Mm-hmm. Because that green number, that USD value, it's often hiding a much bigger problem.
A strategic problem.
Exactly. If you're gaining dollars, but you're losing ground against Bitcoin, the foundation, the market leader, then you are actually deeply exposed. You're experiencing what we call portfolio drag.
And that realization, that immediate need for a tactical shift when you see your gains, just aren't keeping up with the safety and liquidity the market is demanding. Ooh, that is the entire focus of our deep dive today.
Welcome back, everyone, to the deep dive. Yeah. We are definitely moving past the headlines today to really dissect the current crypto market structure, which is shifting really, really fast. This is not about chasing the next, you know, hot new token. This is about understanding market reality, foundational structural change.
Yeah, and our sources for this are really focused on two critical elements that I think require an immediate adjustment from anyone who's serious about their capital right now. First, we're going to break down the macro environment. What are the conditions that are pushing Bitcoin dominance so aggressively higher?
And second, and this is maybe the most fascinating part, we're going to look at the tactical moves of some of the biggest players in the game. Specifically, the very consistent OneINCH market-making team. We're going to follow the money.
Mm-hmm.
So our mission today is pretty simple, but it's critical. We're here to pull out the concrete facts that explain why your trading strategy probably needs to change. Like right now, we'll detail what those adjustments should look like based on both the big macro trends and, just as importantly, the calculated moves of the smart money.
Let's get right into it. Let's start with that macro climate because, you know, all the sources we looked at are unanimous on this. The environment we're in right now, it's just fundamentally different from the last few months. That period that encouraged, you know, high risk bets across the board where it felt like almost every altcoin was catching a bid.
Yeah, that moment is over.
Yeah.
It really is. It's a total paradigm shift. And I think recognizing that is like the first step to survival in this market. The environment is just not favorable for high-risk assets anymore. The general floodgates are kind of closed.
This market has a new filter.
A ruthless one. It is now demanding three things above all else.
Mm-hmm.
Raw strength, deep liquidity, and most importantly, safety.
And that shift from what it could call a risk-on mentality to more of a safety-first one has a really direct and visible consequence for crypto. When you translate strength, liquidity, and safety into our world, I mean, it all just points to one thing.
It points directly to rising Bitcoin dominance.
Yeah.
And we should probably just quickly define that for anyone who's maybe newer to the idea. BTC dominance just means that Bitcoin is taking up a bigger and bigger slice of the total crypto market cap pie relative to everything else.
It's the market's collective voice.
It is. It's the market saying, hey, when things feel a little shaky, I'm going to trust the big established foundation more than all the experimental stuff built around it.
It's the safe harbor effect. And we just saw this play out so clearly after that last big market shock. You know, most people would expect just chaos, deep red across the board, and a really slow, painful recovery. But the analysis points to something different from Bitcoin itself, something almost mechanical.
BTC mechanical snapback.
Yep.
That's the term the analysts are using. I think it's perfect. Like a spring that's been stretched and then just immediately snaps back to its original shape.
Okay.
So after that shock, Bitcoin or BTCX, it recovered almost instantly. Just snapped right back, targeting consolidation zones around like the 90K area. The recovery wasn't slow. It wasn't hesitant. It was aggressive.
So what does a recovery like that, an aggressive mechanical recovery, what does that tell us about where the capital is right now?
It tells us there's huge underlying institutional strength. It's a signal that large, patient capital is literally sitting on the sidelines just waiting for BTC dips.
They're not seeing it as a moment of fear.
Not at all. They see it as a calculated buying opportunity. The institutional idea of Bitcoin as, you know, digital property or digital gold is just too strong to let the price fall too far for too long. Those big buyers just soak up the selling pressure.
And this is where the story really splits in two, isn't it? The contrast with what happened to the rest of the market during that same snapback.
Oh, it's a profound difference. You get this massive altcoin lag. So while Bitcoin is snapping back almost immediately, the vast, vast majority of altcoins, they just failed to recover.
They didn't even bounce.
They didn't even manage a decisive bounce off the lows. So as a result, they underperformed BTC. I mean, not by a little bit, dramatically.
Right.
They were just left in the dust while Bitcoin was soaking up all the available capital. That split, that structural divergence, that's the clearest signal that the market is divided right now into the haves, which is BTC, and the have-nots, which is most alts.
Which brings us to what is probably the most painful truth for a lot of traders right now, especially those who are really diversified. And it comes down to understanding the alt-BTC trading pairs. This is where those, you know, paper gains can hide some very real losses.
It is the brutal reality.
Yeah.
I mean, we are all just wired to check our performance against the U.S. dollar.
Of course.
You'll buy an alt at $1, it goes to $1.10. You think, great, I'm up 10%. And it feels like a win. But in a market phase like this one, a dominance-driven phase, that is just the wrong metric. It's a vanity metric.
Exactly. The core insight from our sources is that your altcoin bags might look, you know, nice and green in your portfolio in USD terms, but when you measure their value against the real standard bearer, against BTC, they're bleeding heavily.
Yeah. Let's just put some numbers on that. Let's say your altcoin went up 10% last week. Great. But Bitcoin went up 25% in that same time frame.
You didn't make money, relatively speaking.
You lost 15% of your relative crypto capital. You're actually weaker. That 15% loss is a huge erosion of your market health. It means your capital is just not working efficiently.
You're paying a hidden 15% premium just for the privilege of holding that riskier asset.
That's a perfect way to put it. And this pattern, it sends an explicit message from the market. It says, if you want to maintain your capital strength, you have to shift your strategy towards safety and liquidity. If you don't, you face this accelerating portfolio drag.
But, you know, we should be fair here. It hasn't been a total wasteland for alts. There have been exceptions. And I think looking at the exceptions kind of proves the rule.
They absolutely do. Even during the last big bull wave, only a very, very small, hyper-selective group of altcoins actually generated outperformance against Bitcoin.
Mm.
We're talking, according to the data, maybe fewer than 10 successful tokens globally that could consistently beat that BTC benchmark.
And the sources are specific. They list tokens like PengyDux, VirtualX, HYPEX, and the more established infrastructure play, MNTX.
And even that success was really concentrated, geographically, you could say, but really on specific chains. We saw a little pocket of success on Base with a few alts there, BNKR, MAMO, KTA, Zora, and Edgy. They managed to capture some momentum.
But what's so significant about that very short list is how much it emphasizes the hyper-selectivity the market is demanding right now. You know the old saying, a rising tide lifts all boats.
Right.
Well, the tide isn't rising like that anymore. Now, only the biggest, best-engineered ships are staying above water. The vast majority of other alts were either stagnant or, worse, just bleeding out their value against Bitcoin.
It just reinforces the whole strategic point. Generalizing your bets across the alt market right now is... it's more an act of faith than it is a strategy. The risk-reward is just totally skewed against you.
So, okay, if we accept this diagnosis that the market is demanding safety, it makes you ask, what does safety actually look like? Not just on a chart, but in terms of where the smart money is actually being deployed. So, if BTC is snapping back mechanically, what's the single biggest risk for traders who are holding a diversified portfolio of smaller coins?
The risk is heavy underperformance against Bitcoin, which just leads to continuous capital erosion. Okay, so now we get to transition from that big picture macro environment, the sort of structural reality, to the specific tactical moves of the big informed players. And if there is one group whose footsteps you really need to be following in this kind of environment, it's the market makers. Specifically, this team associated with 1INCH.
Why them in particular? What makes them such a critical signal to watch?
Well, market makers, or MMs, are always crucial because they're the ones providing liquidity, making markets efficient. But this particular team, they have a track record. The analysis describes them as consistent, incredibly patient, and extremely tactical. They navigated the big cycles in 2023 and 2024 perfectly.
So they don't just chase narratives.
No, they position for structural shifts.
Yeah.
They're the ones who create the liquidity conditions that allow future momentum to even happen.
And they have a historical pattern, right? This isn't just about spotting one random trade. It's about a recurring behavior.
A very clear, unemotional, calculated formula. Buy in the quiet, sell into momentum.
which is the exact inverse of how most retail traders operate.
Totally. We saw a textbook example of this with their big accumulation block right before the massive run-up in 2024. They were buying when everyone else was still afraid, still waiting for lower prices.
And their exit was just as calculated.
Absolutely. After that run-up hit its peak, they just executed this sharp capital recovery. They methodically exited into strength. So they bought the bottom when sentiment was exhausted, they waited, and then they systematically sold their position into that peak excitement. It's a predictable indicator if you're watching the on-chain data.
We should probably just define that jargon for a second. When we say market makers, we're talking about professional firms. Their main job is to always be there, ready to buy and sell, which provides liquidity and keeps things from getting too volatile. They operate on data, not on emotion.
Precisely. Their goal is profit for market efficiency, not hoping for a 100x moonshot. And that's why when they change their behavior, especially after a long time of doing nothing, it's a really powerful, unemotional signal about where the market might go next.
So let's talk about their recent shift. The source material points out they were inactive for months. Then what happened?
The shift was sudden, especially compared to how dormant they'd been. After months of, you know, basically zero activity, the wallet was just sitting there. The team started what's described as slow, steady, calculated buying. They started pulling tokens off exchanges and building a new position in their main working wallet. This isn't day trading. This is structural positioning.
And the scale of this move,
yeah,
it's not something you can just ignore.
No. This is the headline number that should make every trader pause. They executed a massive withdrawal of 3 million 1INCH tokens.
Wow.
At the time, that was worth approximately $66 million U.S. dollars. All of it moved directly to their working wallet. That signals a very serious long-term thesis is being put into action.
Whoa. I mean, just imagine scaling up a $66 million position when everyone else is quiet and cautious. The conviction it takes to deploy that kind of capital when sentiment is low. It's the complete opposite of retail behavior. It just screams opportunity.
The scale is the message. It's not just about the token itself. It's about the market's structural health. This isn't noise. It's a preparation move. And historically, the analysis consistently finds that this exact pattern of accumulation has almost always come right before one of two major market events.
Okay, let's break those two down because they really dictate what our next strategic moves should be. What's the implication if this is signaling a structural bottom?
If it's a structural bottom, it means the lowest point of this whole price trend is being set. The market makers are essentially building a floor, creating really strong support. They're betting that the risk of more downside is now way less than the potential for upside. It shows deep confidence at this price.
And the other possibility, if it's signaling a macro rotation.
A macro rotation means big money is shifting between major crypto sectors. So maybe the liquidity from those successful base halts we talked about is now rotating into more established infrastructure plays like 1INCH. They're basically positioning themselves for where the next wave of capital is going to flow.
Now, to be critical here, could this just be, you know, some internal treasury management, something specific to the 1INCH project and not the broader market?
That's a fair question. You have to ask it. But the analysis of this specific wallet's history shows that its behavior tracks macro market opportunities, not just, you know, routine operational stuff.
So the pattern is the key.
The pattern is the key. Months of silence, then this aggressive multi-million dollar withdrawal from an exchange that strongly suggests they're positioning for a market event, not just balancing the books. They're signaling where the next big liquidity cycle could start.
And when you put that together with the macro environment we established, the flight to safety and liquidity, and this massive move by a historically reliable team, the story becomes really compelling. They're getting ready for something.
Right. So we have the macro pushing capital into safety, and we have the smart money confirming a rotation with this huge patient accumulation. Which brings us to the tough question. What does all this mean for the huge, fragile field of smaller altcoins that are neither safe nor liquid? So what does this $66 million withdrawal specifically tell us about market timing based on their historical behavior?
It signals the accumulation phase before either a major macro rotation or the establishment of a robust structural bottom. Okay, so we've established that the leaders, like Bitcoin, are recovering mechanically, and the market makers are accumulating strategically. Now we have to talk about the really difficult reality for the rest of the market, specifically for that vast ecosystem of altcoins.
The consequence is an accelerating liquidity drain. As those few successful alts, the PNs and the HYPs we mentioned, as they cool off, That capital doesn't just disappear. It flows back naturally to the assets that guarantee deep liquidity and volume, Bitcoin and Ethereum. It's like capital has its own gravity.
Yeah, the analysts say the alt market has clearly broken away from the rhythm of the leaders. The patterns are fractured. You see BTC push up hard, ETH stabilizes behind it, but then the vast majority of alts just stagnate, or they keep leading out in that critical relative strength against BTC.
And under these conditions, with thin liquidity and low risk appetite, most alts just can't keep up. I mean, think about what thin liquidity does. Volatility spikes, slippage gets worse.
Yeah.
Any large sell order can just cascade the price downwards. The market is punishing high-risk bets with brutal efficiency right now.
Which brings us to a really harsh, but I think necessary, reality check about the long-term viability of most altcoins.
The source material is remarkably blunt about this, and, you know, we need to be too.
Yeah.
It states very clearly that most altcoins will die anyway.
That's not a cynical take, though. It's just an acknowledgement of how these capital cycles work.
Exactly. Most of these tokens are built to be high-risk, high-reward vehicles for rapid speculation. They have a very short expected shelf life. Their goal is an explosive move, not long-term survival.
So if 90% of them are basically destined to fade away, what separates the survivors? What are the criteria for the projects that are actually positioned to capture the next wave of capital?
There are three non-negotiable characteristics,
yeah.
And these should be the sole focus for anyone deploying speculative capital. Only projects with these three things have a real shot at long-term survival.
Okay, let's break down those three pillars. The first one is strong funding.
Strong funding means the project can survive a liquidity crunch. It means they can get through a multi-month bear market if they have to. They aren't relying on the token price pumping to pay their developers.
So VC backing, a big institutional round.
Right, not just a small public sale from a year ago.
Okay, the second characteristic is absolutely critical, real revenue streams.
This is non-negotiable in a market that's maturing. Real revenue means you have actual product market fit. It means people are willing to pay for what you've built. We're talking about things like transaction fees from a big DEX or fees from minting a stablecoin. If the token's value is purely based on speculation about some future utility, it doesn't meet this criterion.
And the third and final pillar, active ecosystems.
An active ecosystem is the engine for long-term growth. It means there's ongoing development, there are new partnerships, and crucially, there's a growing user base that isn't just made up of speculators. These three things are the only things that prevent that death spiral. You know, where a low token price leads to low developer morale, which leads to more selling, and then it's over.
And the sources give a few examples of projects that are positioned to survive this filter. They specifically mentioned HyperX, UniX, and some of the well-backed AI tokens.
And those aren't random. I mean, UNI represents essential infrastructure that generates real fee revenue. The AI tokens are tapping into a sector where big traditional firms are entering the space, providing that strong funding.
It all comes back to those three pillars.
It does.
You know, this brings up something I still wrestle with myself. And that's just the sheer overwhelming difficulty of trying to sort the viable projects from all the noise.
It is the ultimate challenge. Even for experienced, data-driven traders, the odds are just fundamentally stacked against you. I mean, we have to be honest and try to quantify that risk. What are the actual odds of picking the right altcoin, one of those three or five success stories, to put real significant capital into?
The analysis puts a number on it, and it's pretty startling. The probability is, realistically, less than 10%, even for experts with access to all the best data.
Just think about that for a second. It means that your choice of where to deploy capital in the alt space is going to be wrong 90% of the time. The vast majority of these tokens, like we said, are just not built to last. The potential reward is huge, but the mathematical risk is way higher than most people can actually handle.
And so the strategic lesson here has to shift completely. It's about priority, not just passion for a project.
Given that high mortality rate and the very low success rate of picking the right one, the key principle has to be this. Choosing the right trading strategy matters way more than choosing the right altcoin. Your strategy has to be strong enough to protect your capital, even when you inevitably pick one of the 90% that fail.
And that strategy has to reflect this current market phase that rewards safety, which means, really, two things. Either you shift capital into the blue chips like BTC and ETH, or you adopt a strategy of deep patience. You wait for those crystal clear accumulation signals like the one we saw from the market makers, instead of trying to hit that less than 10% lottery every week.
Right. The path forward is not about chasing weak bounces in a market with thin liquidity. It's about shifting the bedrock of your plan to reflect reality. So if the probability of picking a successful alt is under 10%, what strategic principle becomes paramount for long-term survival in this market?
Prioritize managing risk and strategic capital deployment-like position sizing and patience over the specific asset choice. All right, let's pull these three crucial threads together into a single unified strategic mandate that should hopefully guide your decisions starting today. The source material has given us three really powerful interconnected ideas about the current crypto market.
First up, the macro narrative. The whole environment has shifted. It demands safety, strength, and deep liquidity. That change is pushing Bitcoin dominance higher, and this is the key part, causing most altcoins to underperform against Bitcoin, even if they look green in your portfolio. That underperformance is portfolio drag, and if you ignore it, you're losing real relative capital strength.
Second, we have the market maker signal. We saw that key liquidity providers, like that super tactical 1INCHMM team, have woken up. They went from months of doing nothing to calculated structural accumulation. And that was highlighted by that massive $66 million token withdrawal. That specific pattern, historically, suggests they are getting ready for either a structural bottom or a big macro rotation. They're showing us where the patient, smart money, is preparing to go.
And third, that all leads to the strategic mandate. Given the incredibly high altcoin mortality rate, where your odds of picking a winner are less than 10%, your strategy becomes everything. You have to be ruthless in prioritizing projects with strong funding, real revenue, and active ecosystems. And more importantly, your overall approach has to be safety first. That means either holding assets with deep liquidity or just waiting for those undeniable large-scale accumulation signals instead of gambling.
We really encourage you to take this knowledge and apply it immediately. Look at your own holdings, look at your watch lists, and use the information the market makers are giving us.
Yeah, specifically, we want you to do one thing today. Go check your portfolio's performance, but don't check it against the U.S. dollar. Check it against BTCX. Really find out if your recent gains are from real market strength or if they're just weakness that's being masked by a rising tide. That number, that's the truest measure of your risk right now.
And here is a final thought for you to think about, one that's drawn directly from the unemotional successful behavior of these market makers. If the smart money is consistently buying during the quiet phase, when retail is scared and the charts look dead, and they are systematically selling into the momentum and the euphoria,
then the single most dangerous move you can make right now isn't selling a winner too early. It's buying something just because everyone else, the public, the news, the influencers who are late to the party, is finally talking about it. Just consider how often that feeling, the fear of missing out, directly contradicts the patient, tactical, and quiet approach of the people who actually move this market.
We'll see you next time on The Deep Dive.